Today's Shiur is Masechta Menachos, Daf Kuf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah of the Taf of the Yomit. As we know, typically a Korban Mincha has to come from wheat flour, actually not just wheat flour, but soilus, which means fine flour. And begins our Mishnah by saying, Ha'omer, if somebody makes a statement, the Harei Alay Mincha Min Asayim, he's going to bring Korban Mincha from barley. So his statement seems to be a meaningless statement, because you can't donate a Korban Mincha from barley, because the only Korban Minchas that come from barley are either a Minchas Chaytei or a Minchas Saita, that are not Korbanos which are donated, but a Korbanos that one is obligated to bring. So the question is, how do we look at his statement? It teaches us the Mishnah, Yavi Menachitim. He should bring a mincha from wheat. Similarly, if somebody said he's going to bring his korban mincha from kemach, from flour, and as I said a moment ago, the korban mincha is supposed to come from soilus, and he said kemach instead of soilus, the halacha is yavi soilus. He should bring a korban mincha from the fine flour. Similarly, whenever somebody donates a korban mincha, he's supposed to donate a korban mincha that has shemen and levain in it, and he said below shemen, below levain, he's going to bring a korban mincha without shemen and levain. The halacha is yavi shemen and levain. He has to bring a korban mincha that contains in it shemen and levain. Chatzi sarin. If he said he's going to bring a korban mincha which is a chatzi sarin, and we know that the minimal shear of a korban mincha is a isaron, the halach is yavi isaron shalom. He should indeed bring a whole shalom, a whole isaron as his korban mincha. If he said an isaron amachta, he's going to bring a korban mincha which is an isaron amachta, the halach is yavi shnayim, he should bring a korban mincha of two isaronim. Ask the Sfas Emes, as we're going to learn a mitzvah shem on Amud Beis, the halacha is that you could bring a korban mincha that's up to 60 isarim large. So if you could bring a korban mincha that's up to a 60 isarim, why can't you bring a korban mincha that's an isarim and a half? So he gives two explanations. One explanation he says is that there's a rule that kol she'ena b'zeh hazeh b'bas achas nami enoi. That whatever cannot be affected one after the other, two statements that cannot be made one after the other, then even if they're made in one sentence, it's not effective. And as we just said a moment ago, one cannot bring a korban mincha that's a half isarin. So were somebody to make a statement that he's bringing a korban mincha that's an isarin, and then make another statement that he's bringing a korban mincha that's a half isarin, that statement would not be accepted. Because as we just said, you can't make a statement that you're going to bring a korban mincha of a half isaron. So since that statement will not be accepted, was made in two separate sentences, it's not accepted when it's made in one sentence as well. That's one explanation that the Sfas Emes offers. Another explanation that the Sfas Emes offers is based on a machloikus that we refer to, that we've learned and we will refer to again in Mitzvah Shem. So Sema says that there's a machlokes chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What is the halacha if you bring a korban mincha made up of many isarim? Do you have to bring a separate loig shemen for each isarim? The opinion of the chachamim is yes. The opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is that one isarim, one loig shemen suffices for numerous isarin of flour. But according to the Tanakhama, each isarin of flour brings with it an obligation to bring a loig shemen. There is no shear of a chatzi loig shemen. Since there is no shear of a chatzi loig shemen, we have to bring a full isarin, because otherwise we won't know what kind of oil to bring. However, Shimon's opinion in all of the cases that we just have stated in the Mishnah is poter, that the person doesn't have to bring a korban mincha. Shleis nadiv kederecha misnatvin. the statement that he's made are statements that Rav Shimon considered meaningless statements, and therefore the entire statement is disregarded. In fact, I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Chasam Sofer, that what would be the halacha, and of course somebody should avoid doing this, but what would be the halacha if somebody were to donate a carbon Pesach, he would designate an animal as a carbon Pesach, what would be the din? Bizman hazeh. So, it is especially a difficult question, because as we discussed in our shiurim, the opinion of many Rishonim is that a Karm Pesach could technically be brought Bizman hazeh. And therefore, if this person was Magdish, a Karm Pesach Bizman hazeh, he has a real issue. However, says the Chasam Sofer, based on what Rav Shimon just said in our Gemara, so it's not a Tederach HaMasnadim, it's a statement that is not considered a meaningful statement, and therefore perhaps the halacha would be that it's not mechuyev to worry about the status of that animal. Ask the Gemara on the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, why would somebody make a statement? Hoy mahare alai mincha minas oirim. Do we consider it as a meaningful statement? Nidroi peschay imayhu. Isn't it clear that he's retracting his nether by having said immediately minas oirim? And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, there is no carbon mincha from soirim that you could donate. So it's obviously that he's retracting, and if he's retracting, the halacha should be that we should not be obligated to follow what he says. So there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this gemara. Rashi explains, as we just did, that nidroi peschay imay means that it's obvious that he's retracting what he meant by having said minasayim. Tosfos is bothered with Rashi's pshat because Tosfos says that the halacha is that a nidrei hegdish one cannot be chayzer, one cannot retract. So therefore he asks, how could Rashi explain that the Gemara's question is that he's retracting on his nether? And because of that question, Tosfos takes the approach that it's not a question of chazaro, of retraction, but rather it's a question of charota. It's obvious that he regrets making the nether in the first place, and since it's a situation of charota, charota is applicable even by nidrei hegdish. As Rav Shimon Shkop explains, he says there are two different concepts. There's a concept of charota, and there's a concept of chazara. Chazara means that you change your mind. And indeed, by nidrei hegdish, the halacha is the one cannot be chazer. Charota means that the person regrets what he said in the first place. Charota is possible even by nidrei hegdish. And that's why Tosfos says, the Gemara's question is, isn't it obvious that he's regretting the statement that he made? In fact, this explanation that we just have given, the difference between charota and chazara, is relevant to an issue that we've discussed previously in our shiurim. There is a halacha that nidrei hegdish are treated in a much stricter way, as we just said, and the halacha is that nidrei staka are treated the same way as nidrei hegdish. Moreover, the halacha is that by nidrei hegdish and nidrei staka, even though normally dvarim shebelev einem dvarim, by nidrei hegdish and nidrei staka, just deciding to make a nether, it's considered an obligation. And therefore, there's a machloikas v'achroinim. If somebody decided to give a certain amount to tzedaka, may he change his mind? The Machna Frayim says he may not. The Tzoy says he may. But based on the way we're explaining our Gemara with the explanation of Rav Shimon Shkop, if he says that it's not a chazara, but rather it's a charata, even if it's a nidrei hegdish, there it's obvious that his nether could be nullified. So again, the question is, by having said harei alai mincha minasayrim, it's obvious that his statement is a meaningless statement. Why does he have to fulfill the nether? Chizki explains, Chizki homani, who was the Tan of our Mishnah? Beshamahi. The Tan of our Mishnah is Beshamai, Dom Tfoy Slishmishin. We have Machloikis Beshamai and Beshilo. If a person makes a statement, do we only look at the first part of the statement, or do we look at the entire statement? And Beshamai in our Mishnah is following the opinion that we say Tfoy Slishmishin, and we follow the first part of the statement. And therefore, here he said Harei Lai Mincha, that's why he's obligated to bring in Karban Mincha. Actually, if we look in the Sugya, in Masechta Nazir, where this similar Sugya comes up between Beisham and Beis Hillel, the Gemara over there, actually, the Rishonim, based on the Gemara there, have a deeper understanding of Beis Shammai. Their understanding of Beis Shammai is also based that a person doesn't, ain't on the Moitzit Varel Vatala. A person doesn't say his words for nothing. A person doesn't just make something hegdish, doesn't say something if it shouldn't have any meaning. So the question is, what is the underlying principle on understanding Beis Shammai? Says the Brisker Rav. Because in our case, where the person said, Harei Olai Mincha Menesairim, and there aren't ingredients in front of him, it's hard to apply the concept of Ein Adam Moitzi Dvar Al Vatala, because there's nothing for the Hegdish to be Chal on. Therefore, the more appropriate concept is that Tfos Lashon Rishon, we follow the first part of the statement, and he said to Harei Olai Mincha. Where do we see a similar case that Beis Shammai follows this principle? The Tanakh, the Mishnah says in the Masechta Nazir, if somebody said Harei Nazir, so obviously being a Nazir doesn't permit you from eating dried figs or pressed figs. So Beis Shammai says we follow the beginning of the statement, and he began the statement with the words Harei Nazir, and he will be a Nazir. Beis Halayim, we look at the entire statement, and since the last part of the statement obviously was meaningless, there's no such thing as a Nazir min Agrogus min Advela, therefore it undermines the entire statement and he's not a Nazir. So Chizki's explanation of our Mishnah is that the opinion of the Tanakam of our Mishnah is actually based on Beis Shammai's opinion throughout Shas. However, Rabbi Yochanan says that the Tan of our Mishnah is actually a Filotei Beis Hillel. We could explain that our Mishnah even follows the opinion of Beis Hillel. Ba'omer, because what happened over here was the person made a neder, and the person said, Harei Lai Mincha Menesairim. And we tell him, but your statement doesn't really make sense, because there is no Karban Mincha from Sairim. So he immediately corrects himself and says, Eli Hayisi Nedeya Shei Noidim Kach, had I known that you can't bring a Karban Mincha Nedova from Sairim, I would have never made this neder. Therefore, says Rav Yochanan, explaining Beis Hillel, we accept his explanation, and we accept his explanation, and that he really meant to bring a valid Karban Mincha, and he's going to have to bring a Karban Mincha min achid. Asks Rav Kiva Eger. He doesn't understand Rav Yochanan's explanation. Throughout Shas, we have a rule, Dvarim Shebaleiv Ein Dvarim. And that when somebody makes a statement, the statement has to be able to stand on its own two feet. If it requires further explanation, that this is what I meant, the halacha doesn't recognize explanations. Why, therefore, asks the Rav Kivega, over here, are we accepting explanations? Answers Rav Kivega, and Rav Kivega doesn't answer. So it's sort of the safer Mechus Avraham answers a very nice teretz. He says, if there was absolutely no meaningful statement, there was nothing meaningful in what a person said, and we want to completely rely on what he's saying because of a statement of him, because of Dvarim Shebaleiv, as we said, there's a rule throughout Shas, Dvarim Shebaleiv Einam Dvarim. But in the case of our Gemara, the person actually did begin with somewhat of a meaningful statement. He said, Harei Olai Mincha. Yes, it got sort of misunderstood because he added afterwards the words Menasayir. But since he began with somewhat of a meaningful statement,
we do give it validity, and therefore the halacha will be that we have to we say that he should bring a mincha menachitin. Am Chizkiya, and says Chizkiya, lo shana. This the Mishnah is only referring to a situation that he said that am mincha menas ayin. Aval am mincha min adashim. The lo. And the explanation is as follows: somebody making a mistake about chit, saying s'ayrim instead of chitim is a mistake that we can understand. Why is it a mistake that we can understand? Because, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, there are many Kavim Minchas that actually come min ha-s'ayrim. So even though, as we said, there are no Kavim Mincha that come min ha-ch, there is no Kavim Mincha that comes we could understand his mistake. On the other hand, a mistake of an adashim, somebody saying he's bringing a karban mincha from beans, there's never a karban mincha brought from beans, and therefore there's no way of understanding this mistake, and we don't accept it. Ask the Gemara, it's very difficult to understand what the Gemara is saying. Michti, Chizki command amal shmatzer. What was the basis of Chizkiya's opinion? He said, because he followed the opinion of Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai, the basis of Beis Shammai was, because we say Tfois Lashon Rishon Hu. So it shouldn't make a difference if he said Min HaSoirim, or he said Min HaAdashim. The bottom line is, we follow the beginning, what he said, Harei Alai Mincha. So what's the difference if he completed his sentence, Mali Min HaSoirim, Mali Min HaAdashim? According to Chizkiya, the explanation of our Mishnah is not based on a mistake, on explaining a mistake. Rather, the explanation of our Mishnah is based on Beis Shammai's opinion that we follow the beginning, the original words that he says of Harei Alai Mincha. Says the Gemara Hadabei. Chizkiya actually changed his understanding of the Mishnah, and he ultimately accepted the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. Asked the Gemara, my Tama Hadabei. What caused Chizkiya to change his mind? Amar Rava, Masnisin Kasishe. He recognized that his explanation, according to his explanation, the Mishnah was difficult to understand. Because if the explanation of the Mishnah is because we're following the opinion of Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai always follows his original statement, so my area, why did the Mishnah speak about a case where somebody said Harei Alai Mincha Min HaSoirim, and Beis Shammai is going to teach us that he's still chai to bring a Karban Mincha because we follow his opening statement, the Mishnah should have taught us even a bigger Chiddush, listening Min HaDashim. The Mishnah should have taught us the bigger Chiddush, that even if somebody says Min HaDashim, it's going to be, he's going to be obligated to bring a Karban Mincha. The fact that the Mishnah only chose to teach its rule when somebody said Harei Alai Mincha Min HaSoirim, and not teach its rule when somebody says Harei Alai Mincha Min HaAdashim, Shmamina, caused Chizkiya to recognize that the explanation of the Mishnah is Mishum D'Tayhu, is as Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah, that it's based on a person making a error, and the way to understand the Mishnah is B'Soirim, when it comes to barley, toy, people make that mistake, because as we explained before, there are carbon minchas that come from Soirim. Adashim, but nobody's going to make a mistake that I meant to bring a carbon mincha from Adashim, that I thought that you could bring such a mincha. There is no loitoy, nobody makes that kind of mistake, because there is no carbon mincha from Adashim. And as the Chroinim explained, Chizkiya was reluctant to explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan, like Beis Hillel, because of what we said earlier, it's based on somebody explaining what he said. And explaining what you said doesn't really have a place in halacha. But after the question that he raises, that if the explanation of the Mishnah is as he said, that's following the opinion of Beis Shammai, then it ought to not have, then the Mishnah should have taught us even a bigger chiddush, that even when a person says min ha'adashim, the halacha is that he's mechuyev to bring karban mincha. And therefore he had no choice but to accept Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Rabbi Yochanan,
says Afil min Hadashim. Even if somebody made a stake, the Harei Lai Mincha min Hadashim, he's going to have to bring a Karban Mincha. Ask the Gemara. Let's try to understand the statement that Rabbi Yochanan just made. Michti. Rabbi Yochanan command Amal Shmatze. How did Rabbi Yochanan explain our Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan explained our Mishnah to Beis Hillel. And what was the basis of that explanation? Beis Hillel, Mishnah to Tohu. Because we could understand the mistake that was made. Ask the Gemara, B'sa'irim Tohu. We could understand the mistake a person makes when he says the word, when he says Sa'irim. Because there are common minchas that come from Sa'irim. Adashim. But when it comes to Adashim, Loi Tohu. Nobody makes that kind of a mistake. So how does the Gemara assume, how could Rav Yochanan be saying that the same thing applies by Sa'irim and Adashim? Answers the Gemara, absolutely. Rav Yochanan, according to his explanation, indeed, he could only explain it when somebody said Sa'irim, not when somebody said Adashim. But Rav Yochanan was addressing Chizkiyah, the Dvar of the Chizki Kamalei. He was addressing Chizki, and he was saying to him as follows. At time my Hadriba, what forced you from changing your position, from changing your opinion, and how to understand the Mishnah? Your question was, because if your explanation that our Mishnah's following the opinion of Beis Shammai were correct, then the Mishnah should have taught us a bigger Chiddush. Mishum delay katani min adashim. The Mishnah should have taught us a Chiddush that when somebody says min adashim, the same halacha would apply. Says Chizkiyah, there's a Chiddush in Sa'irim as well. And the way to understand it is as follows. Then the Lomibayim come up. Lomibayim and Adashim. Certainly, the way, according to Beis Shammai, the way to understand it is as follows. If somebody said, Harei, Hai Marei, Lai Mincha, Min Adashim, Dikl Meim, Mahadah Hadabai, it's obvious that he's retracting, because there are no Karban Minchas from Adashim, and according to Beis Shammai, we don't have that ability, because our halacha is Tfais Loshen Rishon. But says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is Afilu min Asayrim Nami, even when a person said min Asayrim. So when the person said min Asayrim, we could certainly explain Deklamayim and Mitu Dukatoy. You could understand that perhaps he's just making a mistake. Still, we apply the concept of Tfais Loshen Rishon. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan to Chizkiyah, there was no reason for you to change your mind, because min Asayrim does represent a Chiddush. Amar Ziri, says Ziri, Loi Shana, this halacha, where the person made the statement, and he's obligated, and where the person, the way Rashi learned, the Gemara is going according to Chizkiyah's original explanation, according to Beis Shammai, that even Beis Shammai that says that you're going to follow his original statement is only when the person used the word mincha. The person said, Harei lai mincha min asayim. But if, loy ama mincha, if he didn't say mincha min asayim, then even Beis Shammai will agree that loy, that he's not mechuyev to follow his original statement. Because there is no original statement. Only when he says, Harei lai mincha, that's when we considered there was an original statement that we, according to Beis Shammai, will apply the concept of Tfais Loshen Rishon. So according to Rashi, Ziri is coming to qualify Chizkiyah's explanation of the Mishnah according to Beis Shammai. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that Ziri is actually coming to explain Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Beis Hillel, and he's only chayiv in bringing the carbon mincha if he explains, because I thought you could bring a carbon from Ziri, from Se'orim, says of that Ziri, that's only if he used the words Harei lai mincha. So he did begin with somewhat of a meaningful statement. And then, if he explains what he meant, we accept his explanation. But, says Tosfos, Ziri teaches us that if he didn't even begin with somewhat of a meaningful statement, he didn't begin with the words Harei Elai Mincha, then even the Tanakhama will agree that you don't have to bring a Karbi Mincha.
Says the Gemara, Yosh Rav Nachman Kamal Hashmatza. Rav Nachman was sitting and saying over this Gemara, Eish, they rubber Rav Nachman, Kemach. If somebody said Kemach, in our Mishnah we learned that he just said he's going to bring Kemach, Yavi Soilus. He should bring fine flour. Lav Dwayam Mincha. Isn't the Mishnah referring to a situation where he didn't say the word Mincha? And Ziri just taught us that you must say the word Mincha. Otherwise, everybody agrees that his statement is disregarded. It's just my loy. The Mishnah is referring to a situation, the Omar Mincha. They did use the word Mincha. Continue the Gemara with the same question. If somebody says he's going to bring a Mincha, he's going to bring the Loi Shemin the Levina, without any Shemin the Levina. The halacha is Yavli Shemin Levina. Again, ask the Gemara, my Lav, the Loi of Mincha. Isn't it referring to a situation where he didn't use the word Mincha, and yet the Mishnah teaches us that he's going to be obligated to bring a carbon Mincha? Again, says the Gemara, Loi. It's talking about a case, Dama Mincha. The next case of the Mishnah. If somebody said Chatzi Yisarin, Yavi Yisarin Shalim. He should bring in a Yisarin Sharm. Again, ask the Gemara, my Lav, isn't it referring to a situation, the Loi of a Mincha, that he didn't use the word Mincha? And yet, our Mishnah is teaching us that he's going to be obligated to bring a carbon, unlike what Ziri says. Again, says the Gemara Loi. It's talking about a case, the Amar Mincha, that he did say the word Mincha. Ask the Gemara, if Hachi, if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah, then in all the cases of the Mishnah, the person used the word Mincha first. Amos Sefer, let's learn the end of the Mishnah. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, if somebody said a sarin umachza, if he's going to bring in a sarin, a half a sarin, yavi shnayim. He has to bring a carbon mincha of two sarin. Ask the Gemara, but why? If the statement was that he's going to bring an sarin and a half a sarin, harela mincha sarin, the chatzi sarin, why should we not understand his statement as follows? Kivan davi mincha, once he said the word mincha, he's obligated to bring an Isarin. Ki Om Chatzi Isarin, and then when he continues saying that he's going to bring also a Chatzi Isarin, Lav Klumhu. That second part becomes a meaningless statement, because as we said in our beginning of our Shir, there is no Karim Mincha of a Chatzi Isarin, and he therefore should only have to bring a Karim Mincha of one Isarin. Why does he have to bring a Karim Mincha of two Isarin? If we're going to explain the Mishnah that we just say that a person doesn't make meaningless statements, so when he said it, an Isarin and a half, we'll say he has to bring two Isarin. But now that we're saying that there has to be some meaning to a statement, and without that, everybody will agree that you don't have to bring anything, so why do you have to bring, in this case, two Isarin? Answers the Gemara. It's referring to a situation that he didn't say an Isarin and a half an Isarin, but rather he said it just the opposite. Alike, Dama Harela min chatzi Isarin v'Isarin. He says we're bringing a chatzi Isarin and a Isarin. And the explanation is as follows. The Kivin Dama Mincha, the moment he says he's going to bring a Mincha, Ichayv loy Isarin, he's obligated to bring an Isarin, because that's the minimum size of a Kav Mincha. Ki Dama chatzi Isarin, and then when he says the words Hafi Sarin, Vlach Kuma, Kama. It's a meaningless statement. So we revert back to his original statement. Then, when he uses the words Isarin, then afterwards, when he says he's going to bring an Isarin, so now, he obligated himself, Maisi Isarin Achrina, he obligated himself in another Isarin, and that's why he's going to have to bring two Isarin. Ask the Gemara, if that's if we're explaining the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is referring in all the cases where he said, Harei Alayv Mincha, that all the cases of the Mishnah is that he said, Harei Alayv Mincha, so now we need to understand Rav Shimon's opinion that was stated at the end of the Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah, the Mishnah said, that Rav Shimon Paiter, that in all the cases mentioned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon says he's not obligated. Why? Shloi Snadir Kederach HaMasnadrin. Amai, since he said the word Harei Mincha, especially, again, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that we're following the opinion of Beis Shammai, so why should that not be a full-fledged obligation? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, the basis for Rav Shimon's opinion is Rav Shimon Shittas Rav Yosi Amar. The Amar Afik Marad Varv Adam Nitvas. There's a Mishnah Masechta Tamura. The Mishnah Masechta Tamura says that if somebody says that that an animal should be a Tamura for a Karban Oila and a Tamura for Tarvan Shlomin, the Machlaikis, how do we look at that statement? Tanakam says that we look at Tfois Lashon Rishon, and it's a Tamura's Oila and not a Tamura's Shlomin. Rav Yossi, on the other hand, says we look at the entire statement, just because it's impossible for somebody to say two things at both times, and therefore both kedushas take effect, and the animal sold half as a oila, half as a shlomin. So what do we see? According to Rav Yossi, we look at the person's entire statement, and therefore, in our case, when the person made an entire statement that doesn't make any sense, Reb Shimon discredits the entire statement. Says the Mishnah, Masnadim Oda Mincha Shal Shishin Isonim. A person could bring a Karban Mincha that's up to 60 Isorin large, or maybe the Keli Echad, and bring it in one Keli. Im Amar if he obligated himself to bring a Kar Mincha that's 61 Isarim big, maybe Shishim Keli Echad, Vechad Bekeli Echad. Bring 60 Isarim in one Keli and one in the other Keli. And the Chazon Yecheskel of Chaskel of Ramsky says that the Mishnah is being very specific, because he says it's always preferable to bring as big of a Kar Mincha as possible. And therefore, in this case, don't just divide it in two, but it's preferable to bring two Karban Minchas, one 60, and one that will just be one large. Why is 60 the maximum? Shekain, Hatzibur, maybe beyond the Rishon Shechag, Shechalias B'Shabbos, the day where most Karban Minchas is on the first, if the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos, and in that day you'll bring Shishiv Echad, they'll bring 61 Isarim, and Dayel Yochid Shepachs Min Tzibur Echad. If the maximum that the Tzibur brings is 61, then the Yochid is always less than the Tzibur, and therefore the maximum size of a Yochid's Karban Mincha should be only 60 Isarim. On Rav Shimon, says Rav Shimon to the Tanakama, I don't understand your logic. How like Elul Lepar v'Elul Tfasim? It's not like it's not that there's a Karban Mincha of 61 Isarin. There's a Karban Mincha of many different Karban Minchas. Some are for bulls and some are for lambs. And the halach is ve'enan nivlolim. We learned this earlier. Ve'enan nivlolim zem zeh. They can't be mixed together. Because, as we've learned earlier, the consistencies of the Karban Mincha are not all the same. The Mincha that comes with a lamb is more liquidy than the one coming with a bull or a lamb. Because a lamb, the ratio is 3 lugan of oil to 1 asarin, whereas by a ram, there are 2 isarin and 4 lagin, so it's a 2 isarin and 4 lagin, a 2 to 1 ratio, and the same by a bull, there's 3 isarinim and 6 lagin, again, a 2 to 1 ratio. So you can't mix the parim and the kvasim. Ve'enim nevlolim zem zeh. So that can't be the basis for the number 60. So Mepharshim try to understand how do we understand the opinion of the Tanakhama. So Mepharshim explain as follows. On one hand, we've learned earlier in our Masechta that the halacha is that if the Karban Minchas did get mixed up after they were properly prepared, they could be brought on the Mizbeach altogether. On the other hand, we've learned that one may not deliberately mix them together. certainly before they were prepared, and even after we were prepared. And that is what the Mepharshim explained is the basis of the machlokes between Tanna Kamma and Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says the fact that we should not really be mixing them together is a raya that we can't look at this as one total number. The Tanna Kamma, on the other hand, says that given that under certain circumstances they can all be brought together, that is enough to look at it as one number. But Rav Shimon, although he's disagreed with the Tanna Kamma in his logic, agrees with his shita, agrees with the halacha. And the halacha is, at shishim yichayim libalel, up to 60 isarin, they can be mixed together, less than that cannot be mixed together. And as a machlokes rishonim, how do we understand what does Rav Shimon mean? Because as we quoted earlier in our shiur today, we have a machlokes with the Chomer of Elazar ben Yaakov, if every isarin requires, every isarin of flour requires its own leg of oil, or one leg of oil is enough for all of the flour brought. So explain the Rishonim. Certainly according to the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that you only bring one leg of oil for all the isarin of flour, we can understand what Rav Shimon is saying. He's saying, when you have up to 60 isarin of flour and only one leg of oil, they could be properly mixed. But when you have more than 60 isarin of flour and only one leg of oil, it's not enough, there's not enough oil to be able to mix. On the other hand, according to the Chachamim, who say that for every isarin of flour, there's an obligation to bring a separate log of oil. There's a machlokes rishonim. Will Rav Shimon be staying his position even according to the Chumash? Some rishonim say no, because since every sarin has its own log of oil, it's mixable no matter how big of a carbon mincha it is. Other rishonim say that even though the Chachamim do hold that every sarin of flour will have a separate log of oil, still a mincha that's so large, it's just too big to work with, even though it has enough oil, and therefore is not accepted as a Karban Mincha. Amaloi, say the Rabban Rav Shimon, Shishim Nevlolim, we don't understand your cutoff. 60 is an issue, V'shishim Echad Ein Nevlolim. 60 can be mixed, and 61 is too much. Amalahem, to which Rav Shimon responds, Kamitz Chacham Kein. We find this concept in all areas of halacha. Ba'avim sa'ar toivu, halacha is that a mikveh has to be at least 40 sa'. Ba'avim sa'ar chasat tar turf, but if it's a drop less than 40 sa', any yachal little behen. So the question is, does that one drop make a difference? The answer is that yes, when Chazal gives a shir, the shir is a shir is a shir. So the Mepharshim point out that from here it says that the shiurim are based on Chazal. In many other places we see that shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So what is it? Is it based on the Rabbanon or is it based on halacha l'moshe m'sinai? So one pshat that I saw is when the Gemara says many times that shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that's referring to a situation where there's a punishment involved. In other words, for example, Macholos Asuris, one is chayiv if he eats a kezayis. Where does the shear kezayis come from? Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But when it has nothing to do with an einish, there we don't say a shear of, there we don't say a shear of kezayis, or, and there the shear are based on the rabbanon. But now, the Mepharshim go on to try to understand, what does it mean when we say that the shear is based on the Rabbanon? There are actually two ways, the number of ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is that the Rabbanon were invested with the authority to establish shiurim. And they established the shiurim no matter what. Another way of understanding the concept is that the Rabbanon look at the situation. For example, the Mishnah gave about a mikvah being 40 saw. Rabbanan established, assume that most people, 40 saw cover the body. That's why they said that the share of a mikvah should be 40 saw. These two approaches are very different than halacha. The first approach says that Chazal have the authority to say the shear, and we don't look at their reasoning. The other explanation was based on reasoning. And since it was based on reasoning, then let's say you'll have a small person that doesn't need 40 saw to cover his body. Will his tefillah in a mikvah of less than 40 saw be an adequate tefillah? So actually, another pshat that I saw, and what we said before, the question that we know there's a rule of Shurim Halacha Mashi Mesinai, is that's what Shurim Halacha Mashi Mesinai teach us. That the Torah gave the Rabbanim the power to make the Shurim, and the Shear has to be the full Shear. Because otherwise, they, Mepharshim asked, why don't we say a concept of Rubik Kekulai, and you shouldn't have to have the whole Shear. Now, Halacha Mashi Mesinai teaches us that we have to follow the entire Shear. There are other Mepharshim explain that we don't apply the concept of Rubik Kekula. The reason we don't apply the concept of Rubik Kekula is because Rubik Kekula is only when we had the whole Shear, and now we're left with Rive. But let's say we start off with a mikvah that didn't have 40 saw, and you can't apply the concept of Rubik Kekula. Says the Gemara, Shaul She'ela, the following question was asked. Hanan Lora Halacha is that somebody says he's going to bring a carbon of 61 Isarim. Maybe Shish Mikeli Echad, Veilu Mikeli Echad. Pasuk of Yehuda Ba'aloi, Rosh of Adam Rukam Mokam, Yehuda Ba'aloi, who was the main speaker, Omar, and he said. The Farshim said, why was Yehuda Ba'aloi the Rosh of Adam? So they say the Gemara teaches us there was an episode where there were three people sitting together, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yehuda said, Kama Noam Ma'aseim Shalom Uzer. They were speaking about the Romans and how great they are, said Rabbi Yehuda. Tikna Shvakim, Tikna Bisharim, Tikna Rakatzos. They made all these wonderful bridges and bathhouses and marketplaces. Rabbi Yossi remained silent. And Shimon Yochai said, "Kol ma shetiknu, but tiknu el tzor atzman." Everything they did is really for their own personal purposes. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim repeated what he heard to the officials. The Ramonim, when they heard this, said Rabbi Yossi should go to Golis, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai should be killed, and Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi should be appointed Rosh HaMadabrim B'Kol Mokom. The Sfasemis asks, how could Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi act this way? Isn't there a din of Rosh Sechonei? Are you not allowed to talk this positively in this way? So Sfasemis says that wasn't what Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi meant. They misunderstood. His actually statement was the same meaning as what Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, just they misunderstood him. There's an interesting question amongst the Paiskim. If an appointment of a rabbinical position that somebody was appointed to by the non-Jewish officials, by the government officials, is it a valid appointment or not? And it seems, and the Ramon, the Chuvis, and the Rivosh, and the Rajba seem to all say, based on this Gemara, that if the government appointed a qualified individual for a position of Rabbonis, that position is a valid position. On the other hand, the Urim B'Tumim quotes a tshuva from the Ram Rattenberg that says that there's a cheirim going back to the time of Rabbeinu Tam, that a Rav that was appointed by government, not by the Tzibur, there's a cheirim against him accepting that position. So again, the question was, how do we know that the minimum size of a Kavim Mincha is 60 Isarim? The maximum size. Pasuk of Yehuda Ba'aloi, Rosh Medabim Kamak of Omer, Shekem at Sinu, Tzivim Avim Beyond the Rishi Shechag, Shechal Yis B'Shabbos. As we explained in our Mishnah, the day with the largest amount of Kavim Mincha is the first day of Sukkot, and it's on Shabbos, and on that day they bring Shishim Ve'echad. Dayo Le'yochid, Shiyachos min tzivur echad, it should be one less.
Interesting rokeach that I saw. We know that in Chutz Laaretz we begin saying the same Talmud Motor 60 days after Yontif. Where the number 60 come from? It comes from these Shishim Lugim, these Shishim Sarim that are brought on Sukkos.
Amle Rebbe, how can we look at this as one big number? They have different types of animals. Some have a more liquidy mixture. Some have a more full mixture. Some of these kabbanas are brought in the morning. Some of these kabbanas are brought in the afternoon. Therefore they can't be mixed together. So how do you come up with the number 61 that way? 60 that way. Amaloi, so Yehuda accepts what Yehuda Shimon says, and he says, Emarata, you explain it. Amaloi, so he responded, Harei Oimer, the Torah says, V'komincha b'lula b'shem v'chareva. Kava, Omer Torah, the Torah says, Havei mincha shichol lihibolen. Amaloi, b'shishim nevlolen, in 60, so, and that's why up to 60 it's mixable. Asks of Yehuda, as we saw in the Mishnah, when the question was asked, B'shishim nevlolim, b'shishim echo ein nevlolim, is 60 a number and 61 is not a number? Amloi, kol midas chachamim kenbu. That's the way it was, whenever Chazal gave a shir. Like we learned, ba'abom soya toivu, ba'abom chasa toivu, eyoch letzol. B'meya, the shir of a bay is metamatumas oichlim, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What does this mean? Rashi said it means as far as transmitting tumah. As far as Kabbalah's Tumah, there is no shear. Tosfos says, the Midaraisa, there's even a shear of a Kabeya to be Matama Tumas Eichlin. How do we get to the shear of a Kabeya? The Gemara Masech, the Yuma explains it, but the Pasuk says, Kol Eichel Shir Yeichel, Mechlak Samaroyim, how to understand. Some say because it has to be a food that could be eaten one time, which Chazal said is an egg. Others say it's Eichel Asher Yeichel, Eichel that comes from another food, which is a chicken that lays an egg. Kabeya chasa shushan, if you have food that's less than the full size of the kabeya, and a tam to masayikon. Or, shloisha shloisha, when you have a piece of cloth that is the size of three tfachim by three tfachim, the tamah medris. Then, if a zav lays on this, the halacha is, it will, or puts his weight on it to be a little more accurate, it'll become tamah to masmedris. Shloisha shloisha chasne maachas, if the dress drop less than three tefachim by three tefachim, and a matamatan mitzvah. So do we explain that what's the reason that the mincha can't be bigger than 60 sarin? Because if it's bigger than 60 sarin, it can't be mixed. Ask the Gemara, v'chi ena nevlala mayhavi, if it can't be mixed, why should that make a difference? For tonight, have we not learned in a Mishnah, in loybolal, if he didn't mix it at all, it's kosher? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeiri, Kalaria Lavila, where it's mixable, and Bila Makhevaspa, then the fact that you did or didn't mix it doesn't make a difference in the halakha. However, Kosha Eroy Lavila, where it can't be mixed, and the Torah does speak about a Karim Mincha being mixed, the halakha is Bila Makhevaspa, then it's an issue. The Mefarshim explained, the Pais can point out that this concept is the reason that even though when someone goes to the mikveh, when a person goes to the mikveh, the halacha is the water of the mikveh doesn't have to enter his body, still that person has to be careful that there is no chatzitza even inside his body. He has to clean out his teeth. The question is why? If the mikveh water doesn't have to enter his body anyway, why should it make a difference? The answer is because it's the same concept. Kol haroi lebila en bila makeves bo. But if it's not right, if it cannot come in, then it's a real issue. Furthermore, there's a beautiful vart from the Shagas Aryeh. The Shpale Halakhic suggests that we know that the halacha is that somebody is in shul and he's in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and the chazan is saying Kedusha or Baruch Hu, he should just remain silent. And he'll be considered as if he said Kedusha or Baruch Hu. But ask the Shibali Leket, since we know the halacha is that one may not speak while he,
he's davening Shemoneh Esrei, the concept that we're learning in our Gemara ought to apply. That since he can't speak, then it should not be considered, it should not be able to be considered as if he did the mitzvah. Answer the Shagas Aryeh, we can't compare that situation to the situation that we're discussing. And he says a very beautiful explanation. He says that if somebody is remaining silent while the tefillah is being said, and he's relying on Shemei Ka'ayna. Says the Shagas Aryeh, Shemei Ka'ayna is a new concept in Halacha. It's a concept that teaches us that even though the person didn't actually say anything, the Shemei Ka'ayna, the Halacha views it as if he said it. That is a special new Chiddush in Halacha that supersedes any other concern, and therefore we can apply it even when somebody is a middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi, Amar Shimon Levi, Ma'aseh v'par da'achas shabeis Rabbi Shemesa. There was a mule in the household of Rabbi that died. V'shir chachamas tamar b'revias. Chazal said that if there's a revias of blood, then it would be tamei with tumas nevei. Maser v'yisva v'isna, Hey Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Shua, Hey Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shua ben Maseira, Al dam nevei l'shu tar, that the dam of an avail is tar. From Rishu ben Maseira, Maisa, Vahayu Noichem, Ardiyois, La Royis, Distari Shamala. One time they were killing these horses to give to the lions in the king's army, Vahayu Oyla Regalim, Shokim, Adik, Vesem, Vadam. And the people that were being Oyla Regal were going up to Ushalayim with their knees, with dam up to their knees. Vahayam Alham Dover, and they didn't say anything from them. Isn't this a proof that there is no Tumas Neveva on the dam? Ishtik. He remained silent. Amle Rav Zeke, my time loy kum hadamar. Why don't you respond? Amle hecha hadalei. How can I respond? Daram chanin. The pasuk says in Tachacha. Vaya chayecha tlum cha mineged. The Tachacha says that your life will hang in balance. Zalakech tfum shan l'shana. It refers to a person that doesn't have his own land to grow his produce, and he has to buy produce up front for the entire year. V'chat alayl of yoimam is a person even in a worse situation. Zelakech tefulim erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. He buys wheat, he only has enough to buy for 1 week at a time. V'loitam v'chayecha, v'asoy mechal apalter. He only has enough food to buy every day. Vahu Gavrin, he said about himself, a papa somewhat. I'm in the category of a person that I have to buy food every day for myself. I don't have enough money, and I certainly don't have any property. So, I saw the Mepharshim make two interesting comments. One is that the Gemara here says that there's a person that has Baruch Hashem enough money that he could buy enough food for the entire year up front. Yet he's part of the Tachacha. Wouldn't we assume that a person who has Baruch Hashem so much money that he could afford to buy enough food for the entire year is not in a bad situation? Say to Mepharshim that what we think is comfortable is not necessarily what the Torah considers comfortable. The different shiurim, the different concepts that are said by the Torah than what we think. But then I saw Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says a beautiful bar. Our Gemara seems to be saying that a person is only able to think and learning, and he's only able to be a Talmid Chacham and respond to questions if he's in such a comfortable position that he knows that he has enough property that's constantly producing produce on his own behalf. On the other hand, he says, we know that the Halacha says that somebody who is concerned about the tomorrow, if he Baruch Hashem has enough for today, and he's constantly concerned about tomorrow, is an unacceptable situation. A person should earn enough to have, and then he should be able to spend the rest of the time learning and doing Avodas Hashem. So how do we reconcile these two seemingly very different perspectives? Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, it really depends on the person. If you're a person that lives with emunah, which is the way a person obviously ought to live, then you should only be concerned one day at a time.
A person, however, who doesn't necessarily have the proper emunah, even if he has enough money to buy produce at the beginning of the year for an entire year, but he doesn't have a steady source of income, he doesn't have that property, he is a person who's of the techacha.
Says the Ramah Havalah, what is the din guarding the blood of an Avela? Amr Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda Marayan in the Spain of Siyah Hava, Yehuda was the Paisik in the house of the Nasi, Varlek Yishmatze, and he paskin, as he himself said, the Tanya, Yehuda Oymer, Shishit Varim, Mikula Beishamah, Mikhun Beisavu. There are six halachic areas where even though normally Beishamah is the Me'achmer, and Beisavu is the Meiko, here the Beishamah the Mekilim, and Beisavu the Machmir. Dam Nevelis, one of them is the Dam Nevelis, Beishamai hold it tahor, or Beisil hold its tummy. After Yosef Yehuda, or Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, after Shetim Beisil, even when Beisil say that Dam Nevelis tummy, like Tema El Berevius, they only said if you have a Revius of Dam. Hoyel V'yochel V'likosh Olam Kazayis, because a congealed Revius of Dam will be a Kazayis. Otherwise, even Beisil will agree that it's not Metamet.